So you want to say hello to the folks too, do you, Tarzan? Well, come on over here, boy. Folks, this is Ken Maynard and Tarzan inviting you to join us here in the tack room of the Diamond K Ranch for another story of adventure. You know, I've got kind of a different little yarn for you today. It's called Windmill Jones. So why don't you pull up a chair and we'll breeze right through it. Wait a minute here. Here's somebody I'd like to have talk to you first.
From the tack room of Ken Maynard's Diamond K Ranch, we're bringing you transcribed stories of adventure. Stories of circus life, fascinating tales of the Old West where cowboys still follow the cattle trails. Stories of rodeos and parades, colorful legends of the red man, hidden gold, and buried treasure. The exciting tales from the Diamond K are told by Hollywood's champion of Western stars, internationally famous Ken Maynard. Now, Ken has a whopping big Western tale to tell you today, folks, so while you're all getting settled, because you won't want to miss a word of this story, I'd like to tell you, young buckaroos, how Ken can say hello to you personally. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Just imagine hearing Ken's voice say,
"Hello, Roger. Hello, Dorothy."
Or whatever your name is. Well, that's exactly what happens when you order a Diamond K record album of Ken Maynard stories. He'll personalize them, tell the story especially for you, and call you by name right on the record. And wait till you see the album. It's in beautiful color with a picture of Ken and Tarzan on the front, and inside are two complete Wild West tales that you can play on your standard 78-speed phonograph any time you want. And the first thing you'll hear is Ken Maynard saying,
"Hello, George, or Johnny, or Bill."
And the Diamond K record album is personalized. Now, the two records are big, 8-inch size, unbreakable, and made of pure vinylite like the expensive records you see today. And the records have pictures of Ken and Tarzan on them, too. Now, here's how you get a Diamond K album for your very own, or as a gift for your friends. Send your name and address, or the name of the person you want Ken to make the album for, to Records in care of this station, and enclose just a $1 bill for each album. Now, that's a real buy, I'll tell you. Well, here's Ken with today's exciting story for the whole family. Ken?
Well, my story begins early in the summer of 1940. That's when I first heard about Windmill Jones. Tarzan and I were on our way across the country making a series of personal appearances, and our next stop was Kansas City. I reckon a lot of you folks have seen the big red trailer rolling along the highway with the white lettering on the side that reads, Ken Maynard and Tarzan. Well, sir, that's his home when we're traveling around the country. You know, we meet a lot of folks and make a lot of friends in our travels, like old Timothy Jackson, sheriff of Blue Point, Kansas. We always spend a couple of hours with old Tim whenever we pass through Blue Point. Well, sir, this summer morning I had the big red trailer truck parked in front of the sheriff's office, and then I walked in. Tim was sitting back, his desk sound asleep, with his hat pulled low over his eyes and his feet propped up on a pile of boxes. Well, I let out a community war cry. Kind of like that. Little Tim come up swinging. Got his feet all tangled up in the telephone cord, fell flat on his face. As I helped him up, he grunted, "Dad, blame it, Maynard. Don't ever do that again. I might come up a shooting." Well, there wasn't much need to worry about that. The old six-gun he carried hadn't been out of the holster for 50 years, I don't suppose. I asked him once why he still carried that old relic of a gun. He grinned and said, "Reckon it's just a habit of mine, Maynard. I never did have no use for the blame thing. I always figured I could talk better than I could shoot." Well, sir, after the sheriff calmed down, we settled ourselves for a little visit. And then he started talking like he always did. "Maynard," he said, "the country around here sure does change. I can notice something different every year. Folks are getting soft. They ain't like it used to be when the valley was covered with sagebrush and spotted here and there with windmills." Then he got up and walked to the window and looked out across the valley. "Maynard, did I ever tell you about Windmill Jones?" Well, before I had a chance to answer, the sheriff went right on talking. "Windmill Jones," he said, "was a mighty peculiar hombre. He drifted into town one evening along about sundown. Had a long, shaggy beard, and his hair stuck out of his dirty collar like a weed patch. He didn't waste much time in talking, just said he could do with a bite to eat if I'd mind to fix it. Well, sir, Maynard, I fixed him some bacon and eggs and a pot of coffee. Sure is amazing how a man's disposition improves when his stomach is full. He said he was looking for work. I asked him what he could do. Well, anything, he said, from punching cattle to fixing windmills. Well, folks, old Sheriff Tim settled back in his chair and started unwinding like an 8-day clock. Seems he got Windmill Jones' job at Bailey's Ranch out in the valley. Bailey had a section or two of wheat land and some cattle and a few sheep. Bailey said he couldn't pay a windmill much, only a few dollars a month and plenty to eat. Well, Windmill was happy about it, just the kind of a place he'd been looking for. So he went to work and made himself mighty handy around the ranch. After that, the sheriff didn't see much of Windmill. Sheriff said he didn't have much time for visiting. He said folks of Blue Point had elected him to keep a law and order, and that's just what he intended doing, not gallivanting around the countryside. But you know, in the peaceful little town of Blue Point, I reckon the hardest job Sheriff Jackson had to do was to find a shady spot so he could take his afternoon nap. Of course, in the morning he was kind of busy reading Wild West stories, and once a week he'd go through his files and look at the pictures of all the outlaws, robbers, and bad men that were wanted by the United States Marshal. There's one thing about the old sheriff, though. It was kind of amazing. He never forgot a face or a name. He'd sort of file them away in his mind. He said to me once, Maynard, you never can tell when I might bump into one of them outlaw fellas. Well, if the sheriff ever did, I'll bet he could talk them into surrendering. Well, it was about a year or so after Windmill went to work for Bailey. Sheriff Jackson rode out to Bailey Ranch one day, said he thought it was about time he paid a social call. As he pushed open the corral gate and rode into the yard, he saw Bailey and a couple of men running like greased lightning towards their windmill, shouting and hollering at the top of their voices. Well, now before I go on spinning this yarn any further, I just want to give the story a rest here for a second while I ask you a question, folks. Do you know how many miles of thread go into the spinning of a K-shirt? Well, to tell you the truth, I don't either. I've always been meaning to find out about it, though. But now, actually, who cares, as long as the shirt looks good, feels good, and wears a heck of a long time. That's the way I feel about my K-shirts. I wear one every day as regular as clockwork, because it's so easy to slip into. No buttons or zippers or anything to fuss with. Just pull them on and you're ready to work or play. Now, the K-shirt's just about the color of the desert sand with a big red Diamond K brand blazing across the front. And, of course, Tarzan and me, we got our pictures there, too. Well, there's the K-shirt story. If you want to join the Diamond K Cowboys, we're wearing one. Just send your name and address to K-shirt in care of this station. Tell what size you wear, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 12, and enclose just a $1 bill. Your mom will know what size shirt you wear, and maybe she'll get you one for a present. Well, now, let's talk a little more about Sheriff Jackson and the story of Windmill Jones. The old sheriff looked at me across his desk and said, "You know, Maynard, there I was making a little social call out at the Bailey Ranch. Wanted to look in on Windmill Jones and see how he was getting on. What do you think I found? With all that dad blame shouting and going on, I figured somebody was getting murdered. I hurried over to the windmill where all the confusion was going on and yelled at Bailey, 'What's going on here?' He stopped his shouting long enough to say, 'Just in time to help us, Sheriff. The windmill's busted.' 'You know, Maynard,' the sheriff said to me, 'I was plumb disgusted. I figured we were going to have a little excitement here in Blue Point. But no, sir, nothing but a busted windmill.'" Well, folks, Sheriff Jackson got out from his horse and looked the situation over. He couldn't see anything very serious that could go wrong with a windmill. He told him that maybe the cogs were locked or the spur gear was broken or something. No one seemed to be very anxious to climb up the windmill to find out. Long about that time, old Windmill Jones rode in. He'd been out to the South 40 all day fixing the fence. His beard was gray with dust, and it looked like it had grown about 3 or 4 inches longer than when he'd seen it last. When Bailey told him what happened, he got a hammer and pinchers and a monkey wrench from the toolbox in the shed and started for the windmill. "I'll have it fixed for you in a minute, Mr. Bailey," he said. Bailey looked at him in surprise. "Are you sure you know what you're going to do?" he said. "It's mighty high up there, and a man of your age might get dizzy and fall off." Windmill Jones just smiled and went right on, climbed up the framework, and then he called down over his shoulder, "Don't worry about me, Mr. Bailey. How do you think I got the name Windmill Jones? I've been fixing these things since I was a kid." He looked down and yelled to Bailey, "It's nothing serious. The cogs are jammed. I'll have it fixed in no time. Tell the sheriff to wait for me, and I'll ride back to town with him." Well, that was along in the afternoon. The east wind was whipping up quite a blow. Windmill's beard was waving like a flag on armistice day. Must have been about 15 minutes when the windmill finally started working again. Then old Sheriff Jackson jumped up and yelled at the top of his voice, "Look out for your beard, Jones. It's going to get caught in the cogs." And sure enough, before the sheriff got the words out, the wind had blown Jones' beard into the cogs, and it was pulling and tugging like a pair of dull scissors. When he got out from the windmill, he looked like a chicken with a few pin feathers left. I took a good look at him and then wondered why he'd ever worn that long beard. Looked years and years younger without it. Then when he moved his hand away from the side of his face, I saw a scar about a half inch deep clear across his cheek. Funny, but even without the beard, his face looked kind of familiar to me. And then it hit me. Like the sight of a barn falling in on me, I suddenly remembered a picture in my files that said Matt Ryder, wanted for armed robbery in Kansas City. Age 38, deep scar on right cheek. Well, so the sheriff said, I reached for my gun. As I said, you're under arrest, Matt Ryder. But my dad blamed gun got stuck in the holster and he started for his horse. Then Bailey levered a 45 on Windmill Jones, or Matt Ryder, as his real name was, and said, you heard the sheriff, Matt. You're under arrest. Well, sir, Maynard, there was a lot of excitement around Blue Point for a couple of days. First time the jailhouse had been used, and I don't know whenever. When the sheriff finished his story, he leaned back in his chair and put his feet up on the desk. You know, I couldn't resist saying, reach for your gun, Sheriff. Oh, no, you don't, Ken, he said. I could pull as good as I ever could. But he couldn't get it done. It hung up. Well, sir, while old Timothy Jackson was struggling to get his gun out of the holsters, I quietly opened the door and said, so long, Sheriff. I'll see you next year.
Isn't that just an amazing story now, Buckaroos? Say, Ken's had so many exciting adventures himself, he just never runs out of adventurous stories. Of course, he has his favorites, and two of them are the ones he tells especially for you young buckaroos on his Diamond K. Weston record album. They're full of action and suspense, wonderful stories you want to hear again and again. And you can hear them any time you want when you have a Diamond K. album for your very own. Now, don't forget, you can't buy these records in any store. The only way you can get one is to send your name and address to Records in care of this station and enclose a $1 bill. Now, that's a mighty little price for all the fun you'll have, and the album will be personalized with Ken saying hello to you or to whoever you'd like the album for and call you right by name on the record. So don't wait any longer. If you haven't already sent in or if you want another album for a gift, send your name and address to Records in care of this station and the name of the person the gift is for and enclose a $1 bill. Now, here's Ken to tell you about his next adventurous story.
Well, folks, it's time to close the tack room door again at the Diamond K Ranch till next time we meet. I've got another thrilling story to tell you called Hidden Fortune. This is Ken Maynard and Tarzan saying so long. In the meantime, get them $1 bills in the mail for some real Western fun.
You've been listening to Tales from the Diamond K, told by Ken Maynard, in the nationally famous cowboy, stunt rider, and Hollywood's champion of Western stars. Tales from the Diamond K was transcribed and produced in Hollywood.